you guys know what we've been teaching on. And it may seem, you know, long and drawn out, but I think it is important because it is the purpose of most of the epistles, and why Paul was teaching, why Paul was preaching, what he gave us, was that we would grow up. That we would not stay in a newborn state, childish state, or even a young adult state. He wanted us to grow up to be spiritual giants, spiritually mature Christians. Now, you may not have that goal, but that is the purpose of the Word of God. So as you're reading it, you're getting it anyway. And it may go slow because you haven't yet agreed with it that that's what is going on. But that's what's going on. He doesn't want you to always be bickering and clamoring and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and don't know nothing and falling over and crying and spitting and having pity parties and, you know, being offended because somebody said something to you or something out in the world is happening and you're offended because of it. He is not wanting you to stay there. Mature Christians have something other or something else to do in all that. And we've been learning about that. What he's given me is just some characteristics that I've gleaned from the Word of God of each of those stages. You can tell if you're in the newborn stage because of certain behaviors and attitudes that you exhibit. You can tell whether you're in the child stage of Christianity when you have certain behaviors and attitudes, things coming out of you, things that you see and things that people may tell you about what you're doing. You don't want to stay as a child, right? You want to be a child all the time, all your life. Well, that's where the majority of the church is today. They're in that stage. And we want to grow past that. We want to grow into at least the young adult stage so we can get past all our fleshly stuff and move into a place where we are more confident in who God is in us. So that we can behave better. We can begin to pass on to others some of that maturity so they can stop acting and behaving childishly. God gave me a word there and I chose not to say that word. He said, so you can stop acting like a fool. You know, we get in that place. We bicker and clamor and just kick our feet and throw tantrums and roll on the floor and all that kind of stuff. God, why are you not helping me? Why you didn't do blah, blah, blah? And this happened and this occurred, da, da, da. And why did they say this? And they're saying this about me. And it gets exhausting. And I know we all have to go through some of that because we all have to grow up. So you're going to go through some of that while you're growing. But don't you want to get to a place where that doesn't affect you? Where you can look at it and know that my Redeemer lives. Look at it and know where your confidence comes from, where your solidness comes from, being solid, being sober, minded. Let me get this up here before I pray. Before we move on any further, I so endeavor to desire for you to understand how the system of God and his word works for us. Faith and belief in him and standing on the promises of God. It's dynamic. It's marvelous. If you can imagine my wife, I keep telling her I'm not going to say anything about her, but she's what you may call a green thumb person. You give her a dead plant and she will revive it. It will come back to life. She is just, you know, we go, we scour the lands from east to west. And we bow up every dead plant there. Let's bring it home and she nurses it back to life. Anyway, isn't it a marvelous system that God has put in place? All we have to do is understand it, right? Plant the seed, put dirt over it, water it, and then all of a sudden, it grows into something. Isn't that wonderful? All by itself. All because God created me that way. It's a marvelous thing. I know some of us have gardens that we're growing vegetables and fruit and all that kind of stuff. And it's a glorious thing to watch. Our part, put the seed in, cover it with dirt, and water it. And then all of a sudden, you stand back, and then something starts coming out of the ground. Have you ever heard of anything like that? It's happening all around us. I know we've taken it for granted. But that is a miraculous thing that God has put in place for all of us on the earth to enjoy. There's another system he also put into place, that system of salvation and redemption that has caused us, you and I, to be other than what we were before we met him. He said that we become new creatures when we believe in him. We are a new creature in Christ. We are our spirit man has been recreated, a new spirit. And then all of a sudden, if you begin to do what he said, sow the word into your heart of the soil, cover it over with some praise and worship and some prayer, guess what happens? You grow. What? You and I. What happens? Oh, I better pray. Father, thank you for blessing us. We thank you, Father, for your word of life and truth that's inside of us. We thank you, Lord God, for this understanding in your word that you've given us. This glorious promise of Jesus that he has bestowed on each of us. Not anything that we've done, not anything that we've earned, not anything that, Father, we could ever do. Something he has just come out and said, I love you and I want you to have this. We thank you, Father, that we receive it. We want to know more about you and know about the word of God, more about understanding where you want us to be and how you want us to grow. We want you, Lord God, to give us this understanding through the eyes, Father God, of faith in the word in Jesus' name. Use us, Lord, this morning. Cause us to say things, Father God, that only you want us to hear. That our hearts, Father God, may burn with excitement and joy. And that we may step a little closer to you in this process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, he has given us the same type of system that all we have to do is do the same thing as we did to that plant. To get that plant. It's inevitable that we will grow. Take the word, sow it. We will grow. Things will come to us. Fleshly things will fall off of us. Honorable, pure, and holy things will begin to attach themselves to us because of what the word of God says. Now, I don't want to give you the fake impression that it is because of you that's happening. Now, you had a part, but it ain't because of you that's happening. It's because of God, the Father, that is happening. And it's important in our next series thing here, and we'll get to that in just a minute, that you understand that. It's not because of you. I may do something. I may pray. I may plant the seed. I may have belief in my heart, but it's not because of you. It's because of God. Think about that for a moment. that those things will happen. Prosperity will come on you. You will live an abundant life. You know, you will inherit the earth, as we'll see some of this morning. Anyway, we're talking about growing in grace. Our scripture introduction, introductory scriptures, is 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18, where Peter is talking. And I just want to hit these briefly so you give you a little foundation and catch you up to where we are. Therefore, let 2 Peter 3:17-18. Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. Unprincipled men. How many of you can recognize an unprincipled man? Anybody? Can you recognize an unprincipled man? Do you think you got that down? Unprincipled men. Men who don't have any principles. Who distort doctrine. Now, they don't come out and tell you flat out a lie. They distort it. Which means they shade it a little bit. They just twist it a little. They don't come out and just go black, white. They go, oh, let me give you a little gray. Just a little bit of the truth and throw in a whole bunch of lie with it. They distort the truth. They distort doctrine. And fall from your own steadfastness. He doesn't want us to be carried away by that. Verse 18, but grow. And then in my Bible, the Amplified says, spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow. There's a larger scripture, Ephesians, that we base our growing on. Ephesians 4:11-16. I'm going to pick up. Let me just read it. And his gifts, because it's so good, and his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers and representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this, he gave us those gifts, those men, who have those, he gave us them to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people. That's us. For works of service. They're given to us so that we can have, you and I, can do works of service. To build up the body of Christ, the church. To build up, not building up, of course, we know is growing, right? Building up. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Can I get a show of hands? Anybody want to testify to that? To become a mature believer. Now that's in the Word. Reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we are no longer, listen, children, spiritually immature. So you can be spiritual, but you can be spiritually mature, or you can be spiritually immature. I want your lightning fast minds and your intelligence and your reasoning to get a hold of that. Maturity and immaturity. Spiritually. Can I get a show of hands? Anybody here want to be immature spiritually? Come on now. Can I get one? Can I get one? Can I get two? Come on now. Are you out there? Anybody seeking to be immature spiritually? Nobody wants to be immature spiritually. We start off that way because we don't know anything about God and his spirit until we get saved. And then we start to grow. And we grow out of that immaturity. And this is what it's talking about here. Grow up out of immaturity into maturity. Understand some things. Get some things under your belt. Not just for you, but show that we can all come into what? A perfect being in Christ. Building up works of service, building up one another, enriching one another. I need you whether you think I need you or not. You need me whether you think you need me or not. Why? Because we encourage one another. We have to come into this spirit of maturity, which is unity in the body of Christ, where we understand the purpose of God, not the purpose of the world, not the purpose of why you came and went to school to Virginia Tech and got educated. Not that purpose. Not even the purpose of why you produce children out of your loins. Not that purpose. Not the purpose why you are engaged to marry or are married to your husband or your spouse. Not that purpose. The purpose that God wants to happen. Now, all of that stuff may come in line for you and what you do, but that's not God's purpose. His purpose says he wants us to grow. Grow up to unity, to perfect being in Christ, to not be immature. So those are our foundational scriptures for this series, what God has given me, and I'm almost finished in the book that I'm writing. Almost done. Four stages: newborn, babes in Christ, child of God, young adult Christians, mature Christians, into then the very creation of God. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they were, now listen to me, spiritual beings. Yes, they had a body and they were flesh, but they had no sin when they were created. He didn't intend for them to sin and to fall into sin. That wasn't his intention. However, it happened. And because of that, they fell from their spiritual position in God. So they had to be restored back, right? That's what happened when Jesus came. He came to restore us back to what was from the beginning. For us to be spiritual beings, separated from our flesh passions and desires, not physically, but spiritually. Now, one day we will be separated from the flesh. Hallelujah. Can I get a... That's when we're going to meet Jesus in heaven and be with him in eternity. Eternity. We can't even grasp that. Forever, never, never, never. But as we are now, when Jesus came and gave his life for us and rose again, he put us right back in the place where Adam and Eve was, those spiritual beings. Existing in us is everything that we need in order to be those spiritual beings. Everything. Just like when you plant that seed, everything's in the seed to make it grow into an apple tree or a pear tree or not even just fruit trees, but you know, plants and whatever things that you like, flowers and so forth. Everything is in the seed. It's all there, right? So we have everything. Then you say, oh, do you? Well, we talked about newborn babes, right? We talked about the characteristics of those. And right now we're in the child stage. We talked about how the children of God understand that they are in the kingdom of God. We talked about the fruit of the kingdom, the results of the kingdom. We talked about the keys of the kingdom. We talked about all the things that go along with being in the kingdom of God. Different from being in the world, because we are, what are we? Spiritual beings. We talked about the kingdom of God. Next level We went right from there to walking in the Spirit. The children of God know how to walk in the Spirit. You say, oh, I know how to walk in the Spirit. Yes, you do. It's in there. God teaches us, instructs us how to walk in the Spirit. One of the things, he separates the flesh from the Spirit, right? We know all about the fleshly things and all the things the flesh can do and all the things that manifest in the flesh. He says, mortify the deeds of the flesh, kill them, because your carnal nature is an enmity to God. Enmity means it's an enemy of God. Your flesh is an enemy of God. So the thing that you're in, this flesh, is at odds with God. And I think some of us don't really grasp that God don't like your flesh. He wants you to be a spirit. Matter of fact, he's giving you everything you need to do away or to put down the fleshly attitudes and behaviors that come up in us. Every last one of them. And he can do it every time it does. Not just sometimes, every time. Every time he raises his head, he can say, back, right back down. God has this ability in you and I. He has given it to us already. We have it. When are we going to decide that we do have it and exercise it? So the next thing that we talked about, and this is what we're on right now, we're on the fruits of the Spirit. The children of God have and understand the fruit of the Spirit. They operate in the fruit of the Spirit. And one thing we need to understand about the fruit of the Spirit is that they are given to you. You don't have to pray them up. You don't have to stir them at. You don't have to roll on the floor. You don't have to run out the door and back again. You don't have to dig in a hole and not in a hole. You don't have to pay out your money. You don't have to come up here and sing and praise and worship or usher at the back door or preach the word of God. You don't have to do any of those things in order for you to be walking in the fruit of the new created Spirit that you have been given by God because you were born again. All belong to you. Love, joy, peace, what are others? Faithfulness, patience. I hear you faintly. Self-control, we've been going through them and we've been learning what they are and just giving a little summary of how that those work in us. I did not intend that in this series to go over every little, all the fruit. There are nine that are listed in Galatians 22, I think. I did not intend to do that, but God said, you need to do this. So I said, I'm going to be obedient to God, right? Because he knows better than me what we need. So it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Y'all remember long-suffering? Gentleness. You remember gentleness? Goodness. Y'all remember goodness? These are fruit of your spirit. We talked about faith last time as a fruit of the Spirit. We talked about God giving us the measure of faith. He's given every man the measure of faith. And then we talked about the fact that you can have a mustard seed of faith, this much. And he said, Jesus said, you can move mountains. This is how much faith you need. That should tell you something. But then he said, you don't have to pray and dig and grudge and cry and go, God, give me some faith, God, I need some faith. He already given you the faith in your recreated spirit. He said he's given to every man the measure of faith. Got to be more than a mustard seed, right? He said you can move mountains with this much faith. I don't know about you, that gives me some confidence in my soul. So we're going from, and this is about how we do it anyway, right? I get about 10 minutes to tell you about the new one. We're going to go, now this particular fruit, Now, you know, fruit of gentleness, fruit of goodness, you know, you think it's a fruit. It's a result of something happening in my spirit that comes out of me. I should be able to identify when goodness is coming out, when love is coming out, when joy is coming out, when peace is evident. Those things are fruit. Fruits are things you pick off the tree. You see them, right? You see the fruit. Fruit is something that's evidence of what's been growing. Spiritual fruit is the evidence of what's been growing in you. Love should be coming out of you. Joy should be coming out of you. Peace should be coming out of you. They should be hopping up. Whenever you need them, they should be manifesting. They're already there. You know, when we were younger in the Lord, I remember a lot of the people around me were, oh, God, I need patience. Well, guess what? You already got long suffering. You already got it. Oh, you have to let it out. So what's blocking it? What's blocking your gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit from coming? What's stopping it? Come on. I know you know. You got to know. No, you don't know. Do you know what's stopping the fruit manifesting? Sin is one way to say it. You stopping it. You the one decide. You the one decide, oh, he offended me. Oh yeah, okay, give me my bad. Let me go back and give him some offense. You decided to do that. Wife says something to you, you get angry. Oh, let me give her a piece of my mind. Who said? You said that. So where is the fruit? It's still there. God is just sitting over in the corner waiting for you to say, God, come over here, help me. Help me deal with this anger. Help me deal with this boisterousness that I want to. Help me to deal with whatever's, you know, emanating from me that's not of God, that's not of you. Help me deal with this fear. Help me deal with it. Did you say you did? Okay. We know Barbara says, I've asked him to help me deal with it. He will. He is not holding back. He's not, when you ask him, he's not like, I'm not gonna help you. You know, you deserve this. You just go ahead on and wallow in your stuff. You think God's that way? God is not that way. The scripture that says, if you asked him to give you bread, will he give you a stone? Now we know that we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but hey, you're still asking, and it's still kind of in the same vein, right? If you ask God to help you, he will help you. And sometimes that's all you need to say is help. So we got two more to go, two fruits of the Spirit to go. This one today is called meekness, the fruit of meekness. The fruit of meekness. The spiritual fruit is one that we already have. Anybody can determine, when do you need meekness? Do you need meekness? Anybody say, oh yeah, I need that meekness? Nobody? Nobody's decided that they need the meekness yet? I don't need to. Well, he gave us all nine of them. I'm sure he didn't say, well, I'm just giving them a little extra. They may not need these. So, you know, when they just put them over there, you know, because I'm God and I know everything. So I'm just going to give you more than you need. We need all of them. Sometimes we just don't know that we need them. And this particular one is interesting because I think that this fruit takes a bit to manifest. Takes a bit for us to allow it to manifest. Pastor was preaching, oh man, a couple weeks ago, and he had said something. We're talking about the Word of God, right? The laws in Psalms 119, and he talked about how that the writer loves the Word. He loves the law. He hides them in his heart so he won't sin against God. So meekness is like almost like a hidden fruit. because it, I believe, energizes all the other fruit. What do you mean? We have two places where we have examples of where the Bible talks about people being meek. Y'all know those two places? One is in Numbers, and he's talking about Moses. Moses was a meek man. And then the other is in, I think it's in, well, it's in one of the Gospels, Matthew, where Jesus says, I'm meek and lowly. Jesus and Moses, they say, we are meek. Now, Paul considers himself meek, too. He has a scripture, I think it's in Corinthians, that talks about him being meek. And he says, when he talked to the Corinthians, he says, hey, when I come to see you face to face, I'm going to be meek and lowly. But when I write to you, I'm going to be bold and zealous and passionate. It's interesting, right? So meekness is something that it's hard really to grasp. I know people have tried. I'm going to give you a definition in a minute. I tried to understand. But the thing that got me was that I have this. And I want it to manifest. I want the fruit manifest. I want to be a tree that has all the fruit of the Spirit all manifested all around me. I want to be operating in the fruit. Let me give you a definition of meekness. The quality of being patient or quiet in nature. The quality of being overly submissive. That was from dictionary.com. Then you have a humbly patient or quiet in nature as under provocation from others. Overly submissive or compliant. Tame, gentle, and kind. Now, a lot of you are going, I don't want to be like that. I'm a man. I'm going to be boisterous. I'm going to be manly. I want to be quiet, compliant. That's the end thing. Weak sounded like this. Weak, right? But Jesus said he was meek. How are we going to reconcile this? How are we going to get to the place where we can understand what meekness is so that we can be meek? Here's an example. You're at church. Some brothers or some sisters are talking, and they say something, and it offends you. You're offended. You're cut to the quick. Ah! They took a dagger, and they stabbed in my heart. Obviously, they're not acting meek because they're talking about me. But you have to respond. Let's say you have to respond in meekness. Now, there's other ways to respond, right, to that. But let's say meekness helps you to respond to that. What do you do? What is the action? What does meekness say in that situation? Pastor gave me the answer because I had that mulling over in my heart. What do I say? That same example. Oh, no, I said, what do I do? Run? I said, run. Run away from the offense. That hurt too much. I'm getting out. Nothing wrong with running. Get away from the situation. I don't want to deal with those people anymore because they hurt me. What does meekness do in that very situation? This is what meekness causes us to do. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to be surprised. What does meekness cause you to do? And many of you have already, you've done it. You just didn't know it was meekness causing you to do it. What does it cause you to do? What is it? Are you on your in your chairs right here? What does meekness cause you to do? Meekness causes you and I, in the face of calamity, fear, hardship, pain, meekness causes you to cry out to God. Oh, God, I need you. What do I do in this situation? You go, oh, that's not meekness. Yes. Step one, call out to God. Step two is be obedient to what he says to do. If he says run, you run. If he says stand tall, stand tall. He says speak out, speak out. If he says pray, pray. If he says sing, sing. If he says yell, hallelujah, you yell, hallelujah. This is what meekness does. In times of calamity and fear, it causes you to go, I need God. Because he is the only one really that matters, right? Doing for him and your life set aside for him is all that matters. You say, but I've been cut to the, who's going to heal that cut, that stab that you got from the offense? Who's going to heal that? How can it be healed other than that way? Who's going to take revenge for you? The Bible says that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He said, he told you, leave that alone. Meekness, the results of meekness. Now, it takes, I know we've done it many times. I know you've said, oh, I've done that. Oh, I've done that. But you got to hang on to the second part. You gotta be obedient to what he say. You gotta be obedient to what he, you know, Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly, right? Why does he like meekness so much? Remember, I'm gonna read your scripture here. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. That is the amplified version of the scripture that says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect, gentle, kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, and self-controlled. That's all rolled up in meekness, because Jesus then says, those people will inherit the earth. The earth is an inheritance for you. Meekness. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. You try your faith. You're going somewhere, you're believing God. Things are not happening the way you wanted to do, but you're still standing in the word of God. It's being tried. So you're standing. That's when patience comes in, right? It didn't happen the first day. Okay, I keep on believing God. Didn't happen the second week. Didn't happen last week. Didn't happen for 6 months. Didn't happen for a year. You're standing in patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, you may be perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. Ooh, wanting nothing. Now, can you tell me of a time, I want you to think about this, a time when you wanted nothing? That's hard to do. Isn't that hard to do? Because at the least, I got to have some supper and some dinner and some breakfast. Right? I got to have some water. At least some water. God. Unless I'm fasting. But even then, I'm not entirely not eating anything or not drinking anything. Your spirit man doesn't need anything that's in the natural, physical, natural, you know. The spirit man doesn't need a chair to sit in. He doesn't need the clothes that you have worn on your back. Your spirit man doesn't really need those. Your flesh needs those things, right? But your spirit man really doesn't need them. So this is what we're concentrated on our spirit man wanting nothing, being perfected by what we believe is meekness. You know, when it says, add to your faith, patience, add knowledge, add meekness. Let me see if I can find that for you. Let me just go to James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves on the side of God, and he shall lift you up. Now, humility is a word that we sometimes equate to meekness. If you're going to be spiritually secure, you're going to be inwardly peaceful, kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, you know, you're going to be humble. But he says that this humbleness, this meekness, causes you to do what? Submit to God. Submit to what God is doing. Submit to where God is. Resist the devil, humble yourselves, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It is interesting to me that this is part of the evidence of the fruit of meekness. In contrast to meekness is what? Being proud. Being boastful. Not being humble. Being overly excited. If you can be overly excited. I'm almost done. I've listed here a few scriptures in That's too many. let me just give you a few so that I would say we can, so we can finish meekness and going on to temperance, which is the last one. It's a solid fruit that I believe manifests itself more so in spiritual mature Christians than not, because it causes you to rest, to step back from the incident that has occurred. I don't want my flesh to rise up. I don't want my words to condemn or to insult or to offend. You know, Jesus was being asked all kinds of questions. They were very dishonorable to him. Disrespectful, and you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees come and ask him all these questions, and yet he didn't seem to be disturbed by them. Matter of fact, he'd always come back with a question when they gave him a question. How was he able to do that? I think that was his meekness. That's what he wants us to do. I think that was an example for us. We are in the throes of, you know, somebody accusing us, or someone offending us, or someone doing something dastardly. Are we hearing so all kinds of stuff that's happening in the world today? God wants us to take some time and go, wait a minute. I need to resist the enemy. I need to stand firm on the word of God and not go rushing in to do something that's not of God. I need to stand firm and be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying. And all it takes is a second, you know, because the Spirit of God is right here. It's close to you as your breath. So when something happens, I can remember an incident at work where a coworker came in yelling and screaming at me. He came in looking for me. The door is over there. My desk is over here. He came in yelling at the door. "That's Curtis. You know that, that." He called me a bunch of names. And he came in right up to my desk. And I said, "What is it? Can I do for you?" He's yelling, hollering. And I'm thinking, if I had a bat, I would have pulled it out then. I said, "Let me just give him a little bit of what I'm thinking." he was very belligerent, very not nice words he was saying to me. And before I could say anything, the Spirit of God said, "Curtis, sit down." Because we were standing up. He was in front of me across my desk. I was standing up listening to him yell. And before I opened my mouth to say something, the Spirit of God said, "Sit down." So I sat down in my chair. And when I sat down, he sat down. And I thought, that's interesting. When he sat down, he also lowered his voice. And I said, this is interesting. I said, "Let me just sit here for a little bit. This is getting ready." You know, and God said, "Don't say anything." I said, "Don't say anything." He said, "Don't say anything." I said, he went on and on and on. He calmed down. His voice came down. And before I knew it, he was then getting to the issue that was at hand of why he came in all huffed up and puffed up. And I was able to assist him by doing what? Listening to the voice of God. And not getting all tore up and bent out of shape of the offense that had come to me. And I learned something from that situation where now I know I need to what? I need to listen. Amidst all that yelling, still small voice in my spirit said, "Sit down. Don't say anything." And I need to listen. Happened a couple of times at work. You're like this time. My boss at the time, he left the department unsupervised. I got called into the director's office. They wanted me to be an interim director of the department. And I was like, somebody already knew that, already told me, so I knew that's what she was gonna ask me and stuff. And the person that told me this said, "And don't let them give you this position without raising your income," right? All right, you should get some extra money for being the interim director. And you know, I'm a nice guy. I didn't really care. That was my thought. I don't really care. And when I had that thought, the Holy Spirit said, "When you go in there, don't you say nothing." I said, okay. So same thing happened. I went in there, sat down. She started talking. She wanted me to do blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. Okay, nodded my head. Right, she went on and on. And she says, I won't forget this. He said, "We know that there's not any extra money for this, so you can't expect any money, you know, in this time, and it's probably just going to be like 3 or 4, maybe 6 months that you'll do it anyway." And the Spirit of God said again, "Don't say anything." That's why I didn't say anything. I just sat there and nodded my head, right? And then she went on and on. Then she says, "Well, I think I might be able to find someone." I'll never forget. I said, "I thought you just said you didn't have no money. Didn't you just say you didn't have?" She came back, "Oh yeah, I got, all right, I'm gonna give you some." I said, "Who is talking to her?" Funniest thing ever. It was another example, right? Another example of being calm, of being the person that God wants you to be. Being obedient to what God is saying to you. Not you taking off. Me and I could have went in there like, "I need this much money for this. You're not gonna use me like that. Blah 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 blah." I let God do the fighting for me, and He did it right. Isn't that interesting? All we have to do is what? Listen. What if God's not saying anything? Well, don't you say anything? Well, you know, I heard a few examples. He's supposed to say something. Why are you not, God, why are you not saying that? We get like that, don't we? Get real nervous because the thing we want it bad, and then it didn't happen, right? And you go to God crying like, "What is this?" And God's looking at you, what is, I've got you. My daughter called me. I'm the last thing when I'm going to come close. She called me and she's all been out of shape about the economy and, you know, things are happening. And she's all concerned. Whoa, whoa, it's me. And whoa, I said, whoa, it's you. She's a Christian, right? I said, what does the world's economy has to do with God's economy? You said, what they're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, if they raise it up, then you go to God and say, God, I'm raising it up. You raise up the prayer. They're going to do blah, 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 blah. You go over to God and say, well, I'm going to do blah. I'm going to go to God and God. You're in God's economy. You and I are not waging by the world's strategies. Now, that's a hard one for a lot of people. Well, what if you go, the Bible tells us he got us in the palm of his hand. He's never, you know, he never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You and I are taken care of by God. We just have to use our measure of faith and trust in him. As all, anything that comes, any calamity, anything that happens. We had a friend who had her mother passed away, and, you know, she's had to go and visit and blah, 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 blah. But she never showed any sign of distress. She was smiling. And I mean, her mom's a Christian and everything. And because we believe, we know, we're going to be rejoicing. They have entered into the place where we want to be with Jesus. They just went ahead of us. So we're rejoicing. It's an exciting time for when saints of the Lord go home to be with God. Amen. We don't have to be all down in the dumps and, ooh, when we're going to see them. Now, I know that some people have had trouble when they don't know that their loved one is saved. But the Bible tells us and gives us a promise that you and your household shall be saved. He gives us a promise. Whether they accept it at that bedtime when they're going up, we won't know right until we get there. But I believe that word. Whether I hear it out of their mouth or not, we're going to see them. Amen? All right, I had a number of scriptures. Maybe I'll read them at the beginning of the next time. It talks about meek and being meek and where God tells us that the meek inherit the earth, those who are meek receive prosperity, where God says that the meek of the earth, he works judgment on their behalf. Where he says that if you're meek and lowly, you'll find rest for your soul. You know, good scriptures talk about meekness, this fruit that we have. Just think about that. Anytime you get into those rough places, just call on your meekness. Call on that fruit out of your spirit. God, I need this. I need this for you to help me get through this particular situation and through this time. Amen? Amen. Meekness. Solemnly, I know I'm trying to stop. Solemnly being submissive to God and being obedient to him. The fruit of meekness that we have.